Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
Yeah. Here comes the.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams Friday Hype Edition. Serena Morales, Bear Motter, energy's up. You know the deal. Come on now. We got an awesome show for you guys today. As I mentioned, Serena's joining us. We had some great conversations about a lot of things going on this week, not only the game, backup quarterback, how they're going to approach that, but some really cool behind the scenes with the My Cleats, My Cause stuff, a kind of preview of an interview she has coming up with Ethan Westbrook, and more. Also, Serena's going to be outside the Coliseum for 3 hours doing some interviews with some Rams alum, taking pictures, hanging out. There's going to be a bunch of entertainment out there. There's going to be drinks. 3 hours before the game, then she's going to head in and do some coverage. So if you guys are at or around the Coliseum, go say hi. Go say hi. Listen to you on Locked On Rams. You're the best. You know the deal. We spread love here on this show. So if you're going to the game, have a couple drinks at the tailgate and then wander on over. There's plenty of Instagram opportunities over there. And why not? Go say hi to Serena. What gets better than that? So guys, don't forget to go give everyone a follow, including Serena. It's at Serena on Twitter, at Morales Morales on Instagram. You may see yourself if you go down there to the Coliseum, as well as Locked On Rams, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. You guys are awesome, contributing with questions and opinions and memes and all that stuff, as well as LA_RamblingBear, which is my personal Twitter, and LockedOnRams@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns, shoot a message. We got opportunity for some advertisers on the show. And while we're talking about that, guys, stay tuned. Your chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams is coming up later in the show. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit later. But hey, it's Friday. You hear me every day, every week. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to my conversation with Serena Morales. I'll be back on Monday. Hopefully another victory Monday because I miss those so much. We'll be back with James Kroger, talking all the things that happened, instant reaction to the game after the Sunday night game here at the Coliseum. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. This is the Hype Edition, Friday Edition. You know the drill. I drink a big coffee. I call Serena. We get it going. So Serena Morales, LA Rams team reporter, is joining us. How you doing, Serena?
I am fantastic. I might sound like I smoked a pack of cigarettes because I've been sick for a week. But other than that, just rocking and rolling, ready for the game on Sunday.
I love it. Well, hopefully not a pack of cigarettes, but
I think I'd die if I had one.
and hopefully you feel better soon. And nothing's going to make us feel better soon than a big Rams win this Sunday. Obviously, coming off of last Sunday, pretty disappointing. I just wanted to recap it really quick with you and just kind of your general thoughts on, I mean, it was pretty much a deflating game, but your thoughts on that game and how we can kind of turn around quickly this week.
You know, I feel like, yeah, fans might feel deflated, but honestly, I'm okay. Like, I am okay. I don't know about the team. No, I think everything is fine. Like, we are 11-2. What is the stress? I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect and hit these expectations. But again, if we got a touchdown in that game, no one would be talking about anything. Like, we held them to one touchdown ourselves, and that was a trick play. They were like four O-line. Four D-line out there on the field, and 2 weeks in a row we let an O-lineman make a touchdown on us. Like, those are trick plays. Those are not usual, you know, people throwing the ball, catch it in the end zone. Like, our secondary has been sound. Our defense overall has been great, and that's what we've been, you know, either whatever's not perfect, we're going to find the thing to critique, right? So for me, I think that the loss against the Bears, you know, it was tough, obviously, but again, we're 11-2. We're going back home. We're here back in LA. and things are not going to be perfect. And I think that's what's great. I think this is good that we get this loss, because obviously things are perfect. We don't see the things that we can improve upon. And, you know, I actually asked Sean McVay on Monday, coming off of that loss, you know, who do you talk to? Who are you speaking to? Because again, I think we have this high expectation of Sean McVay being this perfect coach and, you know, such a savant when it comes to offense. And, you know, we forget that he is a human being. And
right.
He was just like, yeah, I talked to my dad. And I'm like, yeah, man, cause when I have bad days, I talk to my parents too. Right. Like, so let's reevaluate the, you know, the expectations we have that we are human. We're allowed to make mistakes. And just because, you know, someone actually sent me this really nice quote the other day, if you have a crack in it, doesn't mean that you've fallen apart. It actually means that you've, you know, passed the test, that you're holding on strong, right? Like,
nice.
So I really do think that, yeah, we had a couple cracks, but look, we're still whole. Our team is healthy. I think our mentality is strong, and we're going into this game on Sunday to play the defending Super Bowl champion, you know, at home in the Coliseum, and we're ready. This team looks good. I just came from watching them out there in practice, and a lot of energy. I'm feeling good about this. This should be no reason for them to be like, oh, they came off of a loss. It should be the other way. Like, yeah, man, we came off that loss and we're feeling good.
Yeah, well, that's a great answer. And I love hearing Sean McVay kind of reaching out to his dad. He's got a great family around him. You always hear that. I mean, he's a good, big NFL family as well. And you're right. It's funny. We've kind of put him up on this pedestal. Like, some people probably think he just goes into his house and he's got a big mural of himself and he does this, like, Zen master, like, talking to the wall, like, what should we do, McVay? And no, he's a human being, and he calls his family, and that's what a lot of us would do. So pretty cool story there. And, you know, this is a side question, but, you know, are we calling up Sugarfish and saying, hey, what did we get wrong with the order this week, or what's going on there?
I know, pretty much. Maybe it's because I've been getting it delivered, because I haven't been able to the games are all off. So I think 1 o'clock games work in the sweet spot for me. Like, it's really the schedule. Like, I won't blame Sugarfish because they're perfect. So, won't get them on that. But yeah, I think it's more just the circumstance. And I'm actually, again, to me, I know this sounds backwards, but I'm okay. Like, I'm actually happy that we've gotten some losses, because no one wants to go into a perfect season and then, you know, lose in like the playoffs, because we needed to learn some things. Like, now we've learned some things and we're heading into the final stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you. Build from losses. You get to the playoffs and we face adversity throughout the season in game, but mm-hmm. to face it, you know, for a whole week, you know, sit on a loss and be waiting to get back out there, I think it builds character. And they've been talking about that adversity, so now they get to live through it and go prove that, you know, it's not just talk. So I'm with you. I mean, two losses on the season, you do start to get a little greedy. So I still feel real good where we're at. And we've got a chance with three games remaining to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So nothing really big to complain about here. What we're going to do is we're off to a hot start. We're going to take a break. We're going to get some words from our advertisers. We'll be right back. Serena Morales, Bear Motter, Locked On Friday after this. All right, Rams Nation, I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm super excited about this one. We've never had anything like this on the podcast. So if you're spacing out somewhere, check back in right now, because I'm talking about season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. You know who's going to do that for you? That's Dave Robles. He is my man. I talked to him the other day. He's been a top producing realtor in LA for over 20 years. Dave's from Los Angeles, so he knows the city in and out. He's a really strong negotiator, and believe me, he negotiated this deal pretty well. So he understands how to get you a good deal on a home or top dollar on your current home if you're selling. Believe me, check this out. He had a story the other day that he was telling me about a home that was going for $799,000. Couldn't get it sold. They handed it over to Dave. Guess what he does? He goes out and gets $850,000. Literally put $50,000 more into the client's pocket. If that's not exciting, I don't know what is. Maybe 2019 Rams season tickets. He'll get you that too. If you have any questions or want to know more about buying or selling a house, you gotta call my man Dave. He's got excellent Yelp reviews and Zillow reviews. Super awesome guy, easy to talk to, and believe me, he's gonna take care of you. Check out his website, daverobles.com, DaveRobles.com, or just call him, 213-712-4000. 4343. Tell them Bear Motter of Locked On Rams sent you, and guess what? That's right. 2019 Rams season tickets are yours. And if you're selling your house and you're going to move, can't take the season tickets, he'll give you equal value or a discount. Make sure you get something. He's, believe me, he'll take care of you. So again, DaveRobles.com, DaveRobles.com, or call him at 213-712-4343. There's season tickets with your name out there. If you're buying or selling a house, give my man Dave a call. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. We've got Serena Morales with us. Make sure to go give her a follow on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Serena, pretty simple. On Instagram, it's at Morales Morales. I like it. Keeping it nice and simple for us folks. We can find you nice and easy. So go give her a follow. This coming game, it's going to be a home game, so Serena's going to be out there on the field going live with the Rams account as well and doing a bunch of awesome coverage, so make sure to check that out. And as we talk about this game this Sunday, there's a pretty good chance. I know the Eagles have been kind of holding it close to their vest here, but no Carson Wentz, it sounds like. He's got a couple back vertebrae that are messed up, and I don't think that they're going to throw him out there with a long-term injury risk. Wade and McVay talked today at the press conference, and of course, the very typical answer of, you know, we're still getting ready, and, you know, their backup was a MVP of the Super Bowl, and, you know, nothing changes for us. But when you first heard that, what were your thoughts on the reactions to that and what this means for Sunday?
Yeah, you know, and I'm more fascinated at, like, how players watch film and if there's certain rhythms or things that they, you know, obviously quarterbacks, you know, have certain means that, you know, that are weaknesses or strengths that they do. So obviously if you don't have Carson Wentz and you have Nick Foles out there, there's going to be a difference. I actually spoke to Mikel Roby Coleman the other day, and he was just like, yeah, I got to prep for two quarterbacks now.
Right.
And he watches film on both of them. So I do think that obviously the preparation is going to be the same. I mean, Wade Phillips actually said there's not too much difference when it comes to the both of them. They're going to do what they do. The running backs are averaging 60 yards a carry, so they're still going to use those guys. The Eagles have great pass protection. So it's really just, you know, getting it together. And they're probably going to be watching two quarterbacks. And I think, you know, it'll be more of a game decision on how they adjust. But we've seen this before too. The defense, you know, our defense often, you know, makes those adjustments and does it really well in the second half of the game. And that's obviously Wade Phillips and all the coaches on the defense who are, you know, watching what the offense is giving them and then makes adjustments at halftime. And we go out there and we shut it down usually. So it'll probably be more of that. But I think we just need on offense, we haven't seen in the past 2 weeks, getting into a rhythm, getting those points on the board early, because then that puts the pressure on our opponents, which we've seen very early on in the season. So, and Jared knows that. I think, you know, Jared Goff has, you know, doesn't really affect each play or doesn't let each play affect him long term. So, yeah, whether it's Nick Foles or Carson Wentz looking more like Nick Foles, it's not like Nick Foles was not the MVP of the Super Bowl last year. You can't really sleep on that guy too much. So I think really knowing that they're facing a good team, whatever the record shows, they are the Super Bowl champions from last season, so I think they've just got to be prepared. But I do think, yeah, they gotta watch film on a couple quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy when you think about it. You know, you've been kind of getting ready for one guy, and since the Eagles really haven't announced it, obviously you don't want to just switch completely. So now you're watching double film from, you know, Nick's couple games. He played a couple games at the beginning of the season. And, yeah, I can't imagine. It's kind of like extra homework, you know. The teacher comes in and goes, listen, all right, I told you there's a quiz on Friday. Well, it's now a test, and it's a double down. So those right. Guys are obviously getting paid for it, and they enjoy football. So hopefully it's something they take in with passion. I know they do. And you mentioned NRC. So great to see him. He's playing so well. He had the best game of his Ram career by Pro Football Focus standards. Yeah, and the interception. He had a couple pass deflects, only allowed one catch in coverage. He was really good. So, again, kind of seeing everyone kind of going up since Talib has come back has been really fun. And as we talk about this game on Sunday, I kind of been following along with the Rams, and they've been doing – the NFL really has been doing it, the My Cleats, My Cause, and they're going to be premiering some of their shoes, I believe, this Sunday. Can you talk to me a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, so my Cause, My Cleats, it's kind of cool just because I think, you know, especially in football, we don't get to see – the person under the helmet under the pads. They're kind of hidden under there. You're watching them from afar. There's a gajillion people on the field.
Right.
And you're all just like, where's my guy? Where's my guy? Right. So I think it's cool that the NFL has this for players to wear, I said it, wear your heart on your cleats, because these are causes that are important to them. Big brothers, big sisters is something like Roger Saffold. He was a big brother growing up. And so that's something that's really close to him. Ethan Westbrook has cleats for Watts Bears, and he's very close to that organization. So it's just really great that, you know, they get to have some personality and wear their cleats, but also bringing awareness to things that are important to them. And I know that, you know, on Tuesdays when, you know, we assume that these players have off, they don't. They're out in the community, and they're going to meet with kids, and they're going to hospitals, and they're, you know, showing their face, because I really do think that the Rams do a great job at making sure that we are present in the community, that the kids that are growing up in this community feel affected, feel that they've been touched by these players and guys in the organization. So the fact that they're going to be wearing some really cool cleats on the field this Sunday will be really exciting. So, yeah, see some cool kicks. Kickstradamus is one of the designers for 12 of the players, and I got to speak to him. And it's actually interesting. The guy who designed 12 of the players' cleats, he's colorblind.
Oh, wow.
and it's kind of fascinating. He's kind of worked through his own adversity to design cleats for people who have gone through their own adversity. So it's just one big adversity circle, making cleats for people who experience these things and promoting it. But, Kickstradamus, guy I talked to, and Kikasso is another one of the guys who has done a lot of work on these guys' kicks this year. So just cool. You're going to see a lot of splashes, some nice pink, some blue hues, lots of color on the field this coming Sunday.
Look at that.
And it'll be under the lights too, so it'll be like nice and popping, you know?
Yeah, under the lights, prime time, and you just kind of drop some really cool, like, old school crayon colors. You know, you get the 64 pack and you start getting deep
the
into the color code.
64 pack of crayons.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Those guys are. And I think Aaron Donald, does he have some pink on his cleats? Is he one of those guys with pink?
Oh yeah, he's got pink.
Yeah, nice, and who's gonna tell that guy pink looks dumb on him, right? I hope they do. Actually, it might be trouble for them.
Yeah, because then he'll get another sack. when you see Aaron Donald sacking everybody, just look at the bottom of his cleats, because they're really cool. So you'll get a nice photo of that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Can't wait to see those guys out there. Great stuff with that. What we're gonna do is we're gonna step aside, take another break. We'll be right back. Serena Morales, Hype Edition, Friday, right after this. All right, we are back. Third and final segment, Bear Motter, Serena Morales. We do it every Friday. We get you hype and ready for the game. This one's no other. It's prime time, back-to-back weeks, and really a chance for the Rams to kind of step back in the spotlight and let everyone know, hey, we only have two losses. You just happen to see one of them on primetime, okay? We're going to turn it around and hopefully get back to the things that we do so well. With saying that, Todd Gurley, I think all of us agree, needs to get the ball more. You expect that Sean McVay will go to him early and often, or what kind of is your feel about the game plan with getting him involved?
Honestly, I mean, we might see a Gurley show for sure, because I love tweeting any girl pun that I possibly can on my Twitter account. That being said, one of the things that I, just watching film this week on the Eagles secondary, they've had a lot of injuries, and because of that, they, against last week, they had 465 passing yards allowed against their last game. And so if I was writing a game plan, maybe I have more wideouts out there. So, I mean, I think it's more taking advantage of whatever they're giving you, right? Like, obviously, fans are going to go and be like, Gurley didn't have the ball enough, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, Gurley gets the ball a ton. And he shows up when he needs to be. You know, the offense didn't do what they, you know, we needed a touchdown, and obviously those things are not easy, and that's why touchdowns count for so many points when you're playing fantasy football,
right?
So,
yeah.
But I do think I actually think that the defense, we need just to maximize on our takeaways. I think the defense did a great job with three interceptions last week against the Bears. All we needed to do was get those things into the end zone and get some points of our own there. And I think that, honestly, if you look at the secondary that's been beaten up a bit on the Eagles, while we may expect Gurley to have a big game, I wouldn't be surprised if Jared is doing what he's doing, throwing the ball all over the place. And honestly, the biggest thing for us is to have a sound O-line, being sound up front too, because Fletcher Cox is probably one of the best interior defenders in football, and he's going to be going after Jared. And so we need our O-line to protect Jared. So then, cause and effect, Jared throws those deep passes downfield, takes advantage of secondary, and then we see touchdowns. So it's a lot of, to me, I would say this is going to be an in-the-air game, but I am no professional coach. I am a human that watches film, and I am flawed. So, but if they give the ball to Gurley, I'm sure that'll be just fine, too.
I love it. As you're kind of describing that, I was just seeing you up on the chalkboard, just kind of like circling stuff, and if we block them up front and throw it deep, I think we got to get you in front of the team with the chalkboard. I think you'll do just fine.
I'm all about that. Actually, you know, and one weird thing that, you know, I do notice, like the Eagles, their D-line, they you'll notice if you just watch film at all, or you're watching this game more specifically, they have a two guys on the end, like their D-line, they spread them out. And that's actually to make Fletcher Cox be in a one-on-one matchup. And because Fletcher Cox is so good, a one-on-one matchup means I'm getting to Jared Goff quicker. So if you'll notice in the game, what they do is very unique with their front. They're going to have their two the tackles at the end, like wide nines. Basically, they're going to have them on the end. And you'll watch this if you want to be technical about things. That's how they've been running their defense. So again, it's really about us being really sound and protecting Jared. But because of that setup, we might see Gurley run the ball. So I am no person with a chalkboard, but that's what I'm seeing out there.
Well, I love it. You got us going over here at Locked On Rams, and we're loving it. And just to kind of add on to that, when you were talking about their pass defense, is I kind of saw a tweet that went out earlier and says they allow the most yards to outside receivers in the NFL. To go with that, Brandon Cooks lines up on the wide side, 79% of his snaps. So he's in a really good spot this week to have a big game. So
if you're
So if you're in those fantasy football championships, get excited if you got Brandon Cooks, because this could be a matchup. And same with Todd Gurley, because if they're spreading out that D-line and inviting us to run, hopefully it's just everyone's going off and really kind of having a good game. So it will definitely be fun to watch. I know you kind of mentioned that you had a good chat with Ethan Westbrook, one of our defense players that's going to be coming out later. Anything special you want to share about Ethan?
Oh, Ethan, what a blessing of a human to the world. I sat down with Ethan. It was supposed to be a 10-minute conversation that turned into 45 minutes.
Wow.
if you've ever talked to Ethan, you will end up in a 45-minute conversation, too. He's just got so much to say, so much knowledge, and he's got the most beautiful grills in the universe. And they just bring out a beautiful smile that you'll probably see him wearing. It'll be like his grills and then his cleats, and both will be just balling out. So Ethan is I had a conversation with him just to get to know him a little bit. And I think what is so special about Ethan is that he is the glue to this locker. And I think I've mentioned that before, but, you know, if you saw, I did a one-on-one with Aaron Donald, and I asked Aaron about his relationship with Ethan. And it's just like such a mutual respect, because they came into the league together. And while, you know, Aaron Donald has obviously, going into the Hall of Fame already, right?
Right, yeah.
One thing that Ethan has highlighted about Aaron is that you know, when Ethan was going through a lot of stuff, you know, he has five kids, I believe, and he was just like, at one point, you know, when my son was out here, I was going through custody stuff with him. AD Aaron Donald was less like, bring him through, man, you can drop him off at the house. And he's just like, Aaron Donald is such a stand-up guy. So just, I mean, our players are such a caliber that's completely underrated. Like, we have the best guys working with us. So I think Aaron Donald's just so great. And I think talking to Ethan, you just highlight that kind of stuff that we don't really get to talk about all that much. I also think that some of the other funny quotes, I'm going to post this interview on this week, so you'll see it, but just like random things that I talked to Ethan about, his favorite music, why he loves to work in the community. And he works with Watts Bears, and he goes, I feel like the hardest thing today is to be happy, and children are little happy batteries. So if you're ever having a bad day, go visit a children's hospital. Ethan overall is having, you know, a great season, and you'll see him number 95 wearing his grills. He's always smiling. He's got tattoos everywhere, even on his face. But he loves this game, and especially for me, I have the privilege to get to see these guys every day. And seeing Ethan is I think he's one of these underrated guys that keeps this team sort of together. So maybe you don't see him out there on plays, making these very splashy plays. But when you read this interview that I've done with Ethan, you're just like, oh, this is the glue here that's kind of keeping everyone together. He's so special to this team.
Well, I love that, and we're excited to see that because you've mentioned him a handful of times throughout stories when we've asked about the locker room and the chemistry, and even your interview you mentioned with Aaron Donald, learning that they came into the league together was probably, you know, kind of new information for some people. And if you look, if you just try to find him in highlights and different things throughout the game as cameras are floating around, you're right. He's always got a big smile on his face. He always seems to be laughing and, like, slapping someone on the helmet or kind of joking around and keeping it light. So a very important part, and that's what's great about this roster is you look from top to bottom. Everyone has their role, and Ethan's out there playing and making plays as well. But as far as locker room guys and keeping energy up and being able to lean on, you know, Aaron Donald through tough times, and those things really build a team for, you know, long runs in the playoffs. So excited, guys. Make sure to check that out because I'm sure it's going to be a great piece. Obviously, we got a little insight preview, so we're excited about that. What we're going to do, kind of moving this along, we'll do a quick over-under as usual. And, you know, of course, I try to keep it tough on you. So we'll start with Todd Gurley, and we're going to scratch the yards because we haven't been very good at guessing yards lately. So let's go.
We were totally off.
Yeah, let's flip the script here. And this is kind of goes back to the original question in this segment, but over-under 25 overall touches for Todd Gurley. So touches, handoffs or passes.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say under because I think we might see him, again, have less yards. And I know this goes back to yards, but I think we're going to use him when we really need to score. But I think you're going to see a lot more offense in the air just based on the secondary, based on the wideouts that we have available. You mentioned Brandon Cooks, right? Like, I think when we need him, it'll be smart. But I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to say something crazy. I'm going to go under.
All right. That's why we bring you on here, for the crazy Friday hypeness, right? So I'm just going to go opposite of you because I'm just begging for Todd Gurley. I would love him to have 35 touches. I'm just selfish. I'm playing him in fantasy football this week, and I still want him to have 35 touches. But so we'll see. That could be interesting to see how you're right. So the next one kind of plays into – to what you're saying. So I could almost have an early guess what you're going to say here, but over under, we skipped the yards on Todd Gurley, and we're going to go back to this for Jared Goff. We did interceptions and touchdowns with him before, so we'll do yards. So I bumped it up because his last two outings, he's had 180 yards and 207 yards. So will he bounce back over under 300 yards?
Over.
Nice.
Which I figured you knew, but
yeah.
You could have assumed that. Yeah, I think he's going to have a good game. I think he's ready, and I think that we all just know what we need to do, and I think the defense is going to hype the offense, and the offense is going to go.
All right, I love it. I got to make that tougher next time. I need to hear the hmm. Every time I get the hmm, I know I've kind of got you
a little bit.
Ha. Yeah.
You're like 500 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Over under 500. Okay, over 300. I'm with you. I mean, I'm just going to go crazy offense. I want 25 touches to Todd Gurley. I want 300 yards
for
Jared
Goff. Yeah, I'm like, wow.
I'm like on the turn up. I told you, I got a big coffee today, so I'm like ready to just crank this thing up. I was like two extra shots in there.
This is the hype edition with Bear, not the hype edition with Serena.
Yeah, well, this is just every day with Bear. I mean, give me coffee and I'm bouncing off walls. But okay, so we'll keep this moving. And this goes to the defense. We've done sacks a lot lately, so we saw three turnovers in the last game, which was exciting. The Eagles backup quarterback, but may try to go on the ground game. So let's go turnovers for the defense that we will get, right? So over, yeah. Under two turnovers.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. We had three last week. And I think, again, I whoever the quarterback is, we are not, we don't have a confirmation on that yet. But I think it's not like Nikhil's like, I have to watch film on both quarterbacks.
Right.
That's what you want to hear. And I know that those guys are doing that and they're working really hard. And so I'm going to say over two.
All right. I'm with you. I think they are starting to heat up on the defensive side. So over two. I'm good with that. I think three is just going to be a nice place that we can just live for a long time is three. So,
right.
Yeah. So we'll finish it as we always do. My Bookie, big sponsor of the show, and we kind of do the spread here. It started a couple days ago before Carson was really announced to be hurt at about an 8-point spread. It bumped up to 10 yesterday, 10 and a half when I was talking to Vinny. And in just one day, it is now at 12. The Rams are favored by 12 points at home to a backup quarterback is what we're all assuming. But thoughts on that? Do they cover the 12-point spread at home?
I mean, I always think they cover. I'm always like, yeah, they cover. But more, I think it has nothing to do maybe with Nick, if Nick Foles or Carson Wentz is the quarterback. Because, again, I remind people this. I'm like, Nick Foles was the Super Bowl MVP last year. So it's not like they're throwing in like, oh, this guy, you know, who is Chase Daniel going to play, right? Like, it's not who had a good game too. So it's not like these quarterbacks who are coming in and filling in aren't doing a good job. But I just think that they're prepared. And I think coming off of a loss has been a great learning experience. It's humbling. These things are necessary. But, you know, it's how you react to adversity. And this team has been, to me, the most resilient team in the NFL with the stuff that they've had to deal with off the field and on the field. And so I think that we cover, but I think it's less to do about whoever the quarterback is on the other team, whether they were playing the Saints or they're playing the Eagles or they're playing the Chiefs. Like, this, they just know when they need to step up. And I think this is a game where everyone's on the same page there.
That might be your best answer ever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's on the other side. We will win and cover. I love it. I love the confidence. I love the aura that is around you and this team right now. Just line them up. We don't care who it is. And you know what? Usually I'm the really optimist one, but I'm gonna go that they don't cover, because I do think that there's good that, you know, the Eagles are fighting for their lives. They're gonna keep it close. I think the Rams, I originally said they were gonna cover when we talked this a couple days ago, and it was like 9.5, because I was like, I felt good under 10. I think we're gonna win. My prediction is 34-24, so I think that's about where we sit. So 12 is just like, I talked with Vinny about this. I'm like, these Vegas guys know how to get you, know how to get you to feel like confident and then take all your money. So I'm going to go under 12 as far as the spread goes. But the Rams with a big win, I think bouncing back and kind of showing the nation, you know, what type of team we are, and more than 6 points. That would be great. So
I mean, Bear, I feel like this whole, you can, if you win the money, you can use it towards your doctor's bill, because these games have been so close when we win that I would love to have a big, nice, like, comfortable lead, because when I watch these games, I'm like, oh,
my
okay,
heart,
we got the win.
My heart. I know. I'm feeling
so you,
man.
If you win some money, put it towards your doctor's bill.
Put it towards my pacemaker.
Get some fish oil. Oh, quick thing, Bear.
Drop it.
If you guys want to come and check me out, I will be hosting FanFest on Sunday before the game outside the Coliseum. It's the side that has the torch on it. I don't know which, if that's north or south or east or west, but that side, FanFest, the Rams hosted FanFest. I'll be hosting 3 hours. It starts at 1:30 and we'll go till 4:30, and then we can all head into the Coliseum together, and then I'll be working the game as well. So if you guys want to come by, we've got some special Rams alum that will swing through, and I'll get to interview them, and we're going to give away some prizes, and there'll be drinks and food and happiness. So, and I'll be there for 3 hours. So come say hi, take some photos, come chill out. It'll be a good day.
3 hours with Serena Morales and some alum prizes and drinks. What are you guys doing? If you're down at the Coliseum,
right,
you gotta go check it out. Forget the tailgate.
Take
Have a drink
tail,
and walk
yeah.
over. That's a really cool area outside of that, the flame side of the stadium. They do a lot of awesome things out there, and plenty of picture ops. All you Instagram people, plenty of opportunity for some really good pictures out there. So go join Serena. And Serena, send some pictures to us. We'll post it up on Locked On Rams. So have fun out at the stadium, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Bear.